Praise the Lord. Happy to be out tonight. Let's all stand if you will. Let's go before him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a demon a great privilege and honor, Lord, to be gathered back here this night, Lord. Lord, we come, Lord, in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, there you will be in their midst. Lord, we appreciate it with all our hearts, Lord. We just love and appreciate you this night. We ask you to have your preeminence in this service and everything that's said and done. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory, praise, and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let's turn our capstone books over to page 58. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Page 68, the same book. Amen. Saw the light by His grace. Amen. Think about where you've been. Amen. Where you came from. I wandered so aimless, my life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Amen. about things. Hallelujah. Amen. You let anything bother you. Amen. With all these done for us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So much to look forward to. Amen. Page 34 in the same book. Back a few pages. Amen. It's burning my heart today. Victory ahead. Amen. When the host of Israel led by God round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead, trusting in. Just imagine, they look forward to the next test and trial because they knew it was going to be taken care of. Victory. Nothing feels better than victory. Amen. Especially after a long, hard fight. And you know he's going to take care of it. Amen. God on your side. Who can be God before you. Who can be against you? Amen. Brother Suttles, would you mind taking the offering up tonight? Amen.
Thanks, brother. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative.
Yes.
Lord, your many blessings, Lord, we can look in our lives. And each one of us, I know, Father, as we look back, and we can watch you guiding our steps.
Amen.
Lord, keeping us safe, and healing us, Lord, when we have sicknesses. Lord, you're the ever-provider.
Yes.
Lord, as we come to this part of the service, Lord, the offering, we pray that you would just bless it and multiply it. Lord, to meet the needs here, Father, that this may be a light upon a hill. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Draw us ever closer to thee, Lord. May your will be done in everything. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That little chorus, my faith looks up to thee. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, wild let me while I pray, take all my sin.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening.
Yes.
Thanking you, Lord, for all of the things you've done for us. Thank you for your keeping power. Ask if you would, Lord, to answer each request tonight.
Yes.
Even those that are unspoken, Lord, that are on the people's heart. Especially, Lord, when it comes to redemption.
Amen.
So as we come to you, Lord, we surely do give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. May God, of course, upon our heart or a special like to sing. Sisters, we ask the sisters to come.
Before there was a fin on a fish's back, there had to be water so he could swim. And before a beautiful tree could grow, there had to be an earth to grow in. And before this great creation could start, there had to be a great creator. And before your heart could hunger for God, there had to be a God to answer. I've got a longing in my heart. It's a craving I can't stop. The deep is calling out to the deep. Sometimes I just have to cry when it pulls so hard down deep inside. When the deep calls out, there's a deep that will. If there isn't a new Jerusalem, then tell me why does my heart long? Why do these bodies cry and ache if we don't have a new one that is strong? And why does this old earth tremble and shake if the new world isn't on the way? And if the coming of the Lord isn't very soon, why is everything winding up this way? I've got a longing in my heart. It's a craving I can't stop. The deep is calling out to the deep. Sometimes I just have to cry when it pulls so hard down deep inside. When the deep calls out, there's a deep that will respond.
Amen. Stand. Sing out a little chorus. Lord, I believe. As I've asked our pastor to come. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Oh.
Bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, we just feel so privileged to be here again this evening, and that you've given us the health and strength and above all the desire to be here, Lord, and to really want to be here and to want to listen to your word and want to grow and, Lord, the fullness, the stature of Christ. To the unity of the faith. Oh God, the place that you want us to be in. That's why you've provided all these little places to worship and to listen to your word. And may we take advantage of it, Lord, and use it wisely. And we ask that you would just open our hearts to the word tonight. And though it's things that we've heard before, I'm sure there's probably not going to be a one tonight that sits here that couldn't say, Lord, I haven't heard that before. But Lord, there's just something about your word that's so inspired. It's so great and tremendous and powerful. We just ask, Lord, that by work of your Holy Spirit, you would dip it in our hearts. And again, Lord, bring us to that place you want us to be. And we greatly appreciate you, Lord, and how we love you and just want to yield ourselves to you in every possible way. We ask now thy will be done as we commit ourselves unto you, and bless us is our prayer. In your holy, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated a moment. Amen. Well, we're thankful to see Sister Pitts back with us. Amen. She made it on them old airplanes. Amen. But my, I wouldn't want to do that without the Lord. I tell you, I'm not a flyer anyway, but I mean, I've done it before and a few times, but I just don't like walking on one without Jesus. Amen. And, you know, it just seems like you ain't got much control on them things yourself. But anyhow, we're thankful she's back with us and pray God has blessed her and blessed her son. And trust it again tonight now as we go back in this little subject this evening. And I really, really didn't. I tried everything in the world to get out of it, coming up here tonight and ministering, but it just seemed like the Lord plainly made it known to me that he wanted me up here to bring these things again. So that's why we're up here. Amen. But I feel so insufficient. You know, when you sit there and listen to the prophet's messages, and I've been listening to some of Brother Lee Vell's messages, and I've heard some of the other brothers in this message and preaching things, and you think, my, I'm so insufficient. There's just no way, you know, I have what many men has had or have even today. Very smart and, you know, got a lot of knowledge. And I'll tell you what, the more I hear the word and the more I read it, the more incapable I feel. But you know, you just go on by the grace of God and ask him to lead you and guide you. And knowing it's the word, it's the truth of the word that sets us free. It's receiving the revelation of the word is what helps us and causes us to be able to overcome and to be more like Christ and to do the things he wants us to do. But as we know, we're ending in and coming to the end and coming to the close of the closing of time, you just feel inside you don't want to miss anything. Lord, don't let me miss even one little nugget, you know. Help me to see it and to understand it and make sure that I've got it, you know. So that's the way I pray constantly, you know, and pray God will open my heart to the Word of God. But we want to go back into this little subject tonight. We've been on for the last few weeks, and I don't know if we'll go back into it Sunday or not. But just like to, as the Holy Ghost, which I know it was, led me into what to read in this portion this evening, I trust that you will have your heart open and your mind clear and ask God to speak to your heart through the Word of God. So, if you don't mind, I would like to read again 1 John 3, if you'd like to stand with me one more time. 1 John 3, and let's read just the 21st, 22nd verse. And I had a battle with that, you know. I thought, my, I've read this so many times, you know, they're going to throw me out for reading the same scripture so much. But the thing of it is, it's, if it's what God wants, it's what we're going to hear. Amen. And, you know, it's like the little plaque somebody made me one time. I told you before about it, you know. It's preach no matter what, you know. And all it's sitting there is one little mouse on a stool. You think, well, sometimes you feel like it's probably the way it should be, you know. One little mouse, and that's about all you're worthy of to bring. But Anyhow, let's read this 21st, 22nd verse. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. Now listen to these powerful words, saints. Don't let it pass over you. Then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, just think what we could ask for. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Again, the Lord bless the reading his word, and you may be seated. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to read another little scripture, if you'd like to turn to Revelation, the third chapter, and 21st, 22nd verse. Kind of odd how this kind of, I didn't try to, but it just seemed like it came out that way. But this is Revelation 3, 21, 22. And let's read this. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him hear. If it wasn't for God's grace, we couldn't hear what the Spirit says. But I trust that we all will be able to hear what the Spirit says. And even tonight in this little service, not what Brother Steve has to say, but what the Holy Spirit has to say in his precious word. But I want to read again now. And again, if you want to throw me out, that's fine. But guess what? I'll come back in. But I have heard, but now I see in paragraph 70. So Job, checking himself with the genuine faith that God had given to him, that he was just, that he had done everything God required him to do. Now, when we're going to be prayed for our sickness, I wonder if we have done everything that God requires us to do. Have we followed every iota of the Scripture? Have we given him our hearts and lives to service? What's the reason you want to be healed? That's the reason you can't get faith enough, maybe. See, because you haven't maybe made this thing to God sincerely from your heart, like Hezekiah did. Give God the reason. He wanted to set his kingdom in order, see? And God sent his prophet back and told him that he'd be healed. But you have to have those things made right first. Then, as soon as you get to these places and know that it's been revealed to you by the Word of God, by revelation, by the Word, that God requires you to do, then you have faith, genuine faith. So, yes, it's very important. The prophet has showed us in many quotes I've read in the last couple, 2-3 weeks, he has plainly showed us that everything has to be just right. And remember, as he said in many places I read and talked about, there is this place that we must know so that we can have confidence. We can be assured that what we ask. And don't forget, this is all on condition. Remember me reading these things. So the condition has been plainly showed to us. One of the great conditions. Everything must be just right. And to make it simple, we must be living right. We must be doing every iota of that scripture. Every iota. Because the moment we do not, I repeat, then we know we're wrong. And we're condemned. We know we're not doing what God told us to do. So we're condemned. And now, as I said, now we may think that we can buffalo God. And sometimes we may think we can fool our own selves, you know, and think, I'm all right and everything's good. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm a living out of this life and hallelujah, I'm right. But again, as I said, I remind you again, what has every passerby got to say about it? That's filled with the Holy Ghost. What does the Lord Jesus Christ see in our life? know. So don't be as the scripture said, when a man thinketh himself to be something when he isn't, he deceiveth himself. You know. And how so greatly people do that today in this hour. Well, just look at the people that, and I'm not talking only just, you know, even in this message, but people in denominations and these organizations, different places, and how they just so think they're so right and they are going to heaven. I mean, I've talked to some friends and I'm telling you, you ain't talking them out of it. You couldn't tell them they was wrong according to Scripture. No. They're right regardless what anybody says. But who's deceived? You see? And that's the way it kind of moves into this message if we're not careful. We've heard all this word of how righteous we are and His righteousness and how perfect we are and all this, you know, that He's given us as blessings of the Word, and receive it with a carnal understanding instead of a spiritual revelation. Then we get this attitude, you know, that I am this and I am that. As I said last week, you know, it's why there's different churches in this message that they stick their nose up at you. If you don't go to their church, their nose goes up at you. You know? What a sinful thing that is. You see? That's unbelief. It's sin. But they don't understand that. You see, they think they're right. They've been deceived by some man's ideas. Now, twisting this and twisting that and taking this out of place and that out of place and just leaving a couple words out of one quote. And makes it sound like, oh, we're right, you know. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we've got to make sure we're right. And to be right, and to be this person that He wants us to be, guess what? All of us has got a lot of overcoming we had to do, or maybe still have to do. It's the overcomer. You see, the one who overcomes these obstacles in life. Now, I'm going to read a little something here out of the Church Age book on page 118. Brother Branham says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with Him, we cannot reign with Him." Now, think of this. You have to suffer to reign. I may wonder, what's this going to do going along with this? Well, we'll find out how it comes into it. He says, you have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Okay? Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign. I want you to think about what the Holy Ghost is trying to move us into. You see? And what's coming down the road in the future. But just remember these things now, okay? A man without character can't reign. Because power, apart from character, is satanic. Okay? But power with character is fit to rule. Okay? And since He wants us to share even His throne on the same basis that He overcame and is set down in His Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with Him. Now think of that. We have to overcome to sit with Him. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when He comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into His kingdom through much tribulation. Think it not strange, he says, concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. I'm sure we probably all had a fiery trial, haven't we? More than once. Okay? Well, don't think it's strange. I know a lot of times, sometimes people get to thinking, well, why is this happening to me? Why does this have to happen? You know, this. But if they just get in the Spirit, they would understand. You see? That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? Now, could you imagine if somebody didn't have this character that he's talking about? And they really was this people. If they say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt it not, it shall be done. If you doubt it not. And have no character. Why? We'd be destroying this nation. All the filth and sin going on. But it's not time. God will take care of that. But just think. I'm talking about a people that really, really finds this place. They knew who they are. Same as the Lord Jesus Christ knew he was. Remember what we read in Perfect Faith? Okay? He says, no, sir. He says, and we all have trials. We all are tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried isn't of God. Wow. So if you're not going through tests and trials, fiery tests and trials, and persecution, different things that brings us trials, you ain't got anything. Yeah. This ain't for you. Yeah. But if you're one of his, you're going to get this. Yeah. And you'll be chastened. Yes, you will. So, again, keep that in mind. Now we'll begin to read, how can I overcome? And I want you to really pay attention to what he's going to say in here. I may do a lot of reading, but I want to make sure you hear what he said and bring it to your attention. And then if nothing else, you can go home and study it and make sure you understand it. Because you watch us fit in with us now. Okay? Paragraph 100. This was August 25th, 1963. Jesus gave us the example how to do it. How to do what? Overcome. Now remember, if we're going to be this people that he wants to use, we're going to have character. And to bring character, suffering goes with it. He showed us that. And it goes hand in hand with this overcoming. Okay? Now watch this. Jesus gave us an example how to do it. Now we want to know how to overcome. Wouldn't that be interesting to know or make sure we understand how to overcome? How many times have you seen people do things time and time and time and time again? Can't call yourself an overcomer, so you can't fit Revelation 3, can you? No. To fit Revelation 3 and Revelation 2 and 1, that the things he says about the overcomer, we have to be the overcomer. He just doesn't say that to fill the pages up and then not have to be so. But he tells you what the overcomer is and what they will do and where they fit in. Okay? Now, we can take a lot of time on this, but this evening I'm not going to. But he says, all right, he says, now we want to know how to overcome. Jesus told us how to do it. Now, listen to one of these simple little words here. Humility. Humility of all things. Girded himself, took a towel, and washed the disciples' feet and wiped them. The very God of heaven humiliated himself. But he says, we don't want to be humiliated. You know? And you watch people that don't want to be humiliated. You watch when the Word of God comes forth, or maybe somebody will say something to them, and it's the Word of God, and it kind of corrects them of what they're doing or what they shouldn't be doing. And they start getting a little hot under the collar. You start seeing a little steam roll from under the collar. And then they start spouting little smart things off. I didn't do this. They start getting a little hot under the collar because they're not humiliated. They're not like a little lamb. They're like the old goat. And they want to butt back. When the Word hits them in the face, they want to hit back at it. And they've got an attitude problem. And you watch people that isn't humble to start with. If just general things in life happen, maybe not even concerning the Word, maybe a little something they didn't like somebody did, there's no humility. So they always want to get in there and prove their point, and they want to stab back. Even though it wasn't even meant to be stabbed at them, but they want to get their little stab in because... Why? What do you mean, Brother Stephen, not humility? Because they think they're something. They think they're really something. They know something. They're important. When you begin to think you're important, that's the road you're heading down, friend. Yeah. But when you're down here and let Him lift you up, now that's the right way, He said. You see? But when we want to lift ourselves up, and we want to prove that I know something, prove it, I'm important, prove that nobody can do without me, and all this, like a lot of preachers do anymore. But friends, that goes to show they ain't got nothing to start with. Yeah. They're just no goat. They're not no lamb. You see? All right? We don't want to be humiliated. That's the reason women don't want their hair to grow out. That's the reason they don't want to dress like ladies should dress, like men, and don't want to. See, men, he says it's the same thing. They don't. They get humiliated. But Jesus constantly, look who he was, greatness. He was greatness. And I'm going to say something. Greatness humiliates itself if it's real greatness. Okay? Great humbles itself. That's greatness. I've had the privilege of getting and meeting some great men. And it's these guys that's got a change of clothes and 50 cents in their pocket to rattle. That's the guy that thinks he's something when he's nothing. And I've seen this myself, experienced in life. But I stood by great men, I mean great men, and ragged sleeves and cuffs. I've stood with millionaires, multimillionaires, and been around them. And you wouldn't think they had two nickels in their pocket. Clothes shredded, the heels worn on their shoes, never have nothing big to say. Just humble, you know. And take the little fellow that's working for him, making $2 an hour, and he thinks he owns the company. You know? It's just, it's craziness, you know? And that's the way people do as Christians, you know? But oftentimes what people do today, God has given them and blessed them with all his greatness. And they forget where they came from. Now, how can God ever release someone like that to have power and authority over every devil, over the world, over the flesh? How could he? Power without character is satanic, you see. And many people today isn't fit to rule because they haven't got the character they need. Because they've got themselves so far up here because they know this, and they've been in this, and they've done this, and they've done that, and they can't live without me. Oh, my. I'm going to tell you what. If you want to know if people can live without you, just go out here and walk through one of these graveyards where people have been dying for hundreds and thousands of years, and there's tombstones out there, and tell me people don't keep living because that person died. Yeah. They keep living. If you die tonight, everything's going to keep on going. Oh, yeah. It'll just keep right on going. Yeah. You may be missed, or if I die, I might be missed by a few and this, that, and the other, but it'll keep right on going, you know. Yeah. But we got ourselves in the wrong position for God to turn things over to us. And maybe we better work on it. I couldn't imagine some of these preachers today being turned over with the authority that the prophet had, with the attitude they've got. My. When they're always now trying to outdo each other, see if they can preach longer or preach the best or this, that, and the other, and the other one, and trying to make more people look up to them and try to be the head of trying to make an organization out of this message. But it'll never organize, not true, Brian. False is going to try to. They're going to try to get their little cliques together, you know. But he says, I've had the privilege of getting meeting some great men, and it's these guys that's got change of clothes and 50 cents in their pocket to rattle, and the guy that thinks he's something when he's nothing. But I stood by great men, men that's great men, ragged sleeves, cuffs, and they make you think they're the great person, or he says, and they make you think you're the great person, not them, you. You know? Greatness is humility. Don't forget that, church. Greatness is expressed in humility, not how fine you can be. I don't mean dirty. I mean humble in spirit. I don't mean just get out and go to wash and clean up. That you should do that. You know that. But I'm talking about humility, genuine humility, not something put on. Something that's really humility. Yeah. And when it's genuine humility, friends, you can tell it. But when it's not genuine humility, you watch after these things being read and we walk out the door and watch when we start trying to be humble. You'll see it. It ain't real. But something really happens in your life. It'll always be humble. It'll always be humility. Yeah. It comes from genuine down deep inside. He says, Jesus told us how to do it. Overcome means to stand the test. Now notice he gives us the meaning of it. Overcome means to stand the test. How many has different tests? Okay, did you stand the test that you had today? If you did, then you overcome. If you didn't stand it, you're not overcoming. But if you stood the test, stayed with the word, you overcame. That's right, like all the old saints did, like Jesus did. Amidst all of his enemies, he stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood it. In the very face of sickness, and him being the Messiah, he healed them. In the face of death, he brought it back to life. In the face of Calvary, his own death, he defeated it by surrendering himself. Why? By the word. Said, you destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. The word said so. And in the presence of death, he defeated it. He overcome death. In the presence of hell, he defeated hell and overcome hell. Yes, in the presence of the grave, he overcome the grave. Why? All by the word and humility. Now you tell me you can't read those scriptures about Jesus Christ and tell me you don't see humility. Amen. Tell me a man that was born again and filled with Christ in his life, they called him William Marion Branham, and tell me he wasn't humble and in humility. Huh? But you watch somebody wants to try to be something. They're always expecting somebody to bow down at them. They're always expecting, you respect me. You do this, you do that. Have you seen that in the past? Oh my, if you haven't, you must be blind. Yeah. You bow down to me. But real Christ-like character is humility. Don't ever forget that. Even for yourself and for me. It's humility. Now we're talking about what he's talking about overcoming. Really, truly overcoming. Okay? He says, he defeated hell and overcome hell, yes, in the presence of the grave, I guess we read that, all by the word and humility. Oh my, he said, there's the real man. Yeah, he's got humility. There's the one to make your example. He defeated everything. He said, there's the one to make your example, Jesus Christ. He defeated everything and overcome it. Wow, that's our example. Then if I hear that's my example, shouldn't that be a burning desire in my heart to be just like that? Lord, help me be just like that. Oh, my. But I'm serious, saints, just to back up just a second here. Have you ever seen a time where people really think they're something? Oh, my. I'm telling you, you give them a nice, fancy, big truck, and they've got their arm hanging out and trying to act cool, they call it. Are trying to flip their hair and acting like they're tough. Or wearing tight shirts or sleeveless shirts and trying to act like they're really something, you know. Really a man, he-man. He needs his head stomped in the mud and remade with a new birth. And if we ain't careful, this message-believing people become the same way. They think they're so high and mighty and important people. I'm going to tell you, without Jesus Christ, we're trash. We're a waste. What Brother Bram said about our flesh, about what it's worth back then, the potash and zinc, copper, whatever is in this body, and if they'd take it and try to make something out of it, I'm going to tell you what, we ain't worth very much. But only through Jesus Christ are we sons and daughters of God. Through mercy and grace and what he done for us. It's through his righteousness. Not by what we could do. If it's all by what we'd do, we'd have room to boast in ourselves. But by grace you are saved. Not of works, what you've done, what you can do. You see? Oh, friends. Sometimes it might be the fancy house or the fancy nice big gun and this and nice big camp or this, that, and the other. And we just think, and we walk around and we keep looking at it. You ever see people out in the world? They get out and they maybe got a brand new truck and they just keep on going around and just keep on looking at it. Just keep on looking at it and just keep looking at it. And they look to see if anybody's looking at them, you know. Yeah, and just keep looking at it, you know. Yeah. Of course, a little story about Heather, she ain't here to defend herself tonight. But she, when she was just little, got her new pair of shoes and she just constantly looking at her shoes, just constantly like that. Like that. People thought I was mean. But I'd talk to her about it, explained to her about it, about pride. And she still wouldn't quit, so I just made her quit wearing her shoes for a little bit. But it was a little seed, friends. A little seed. They thought I was crazy. But she understands what pride is and what she shouldn't do. Yes. How concerned are we with our children? But you know what? The scripture says to raise a child in the way it should go. But people miss that a million miles anymore. Yeah. They don't understand it. They don't know what it is because their mother and dad didn't raise them that way. And then they don't understand the word either, so then generation comes on, and just keeps getting a worse mess all the time. So you got all this juvenile delinquency and filth, garbage, trash in people's lives, you see. But anyhow, let's go on. He says, look, temptation was for him. He said, you know that? The Bible said he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted by drinking. He was tempted by women. He was tempted by everything that could be tempted by. He was tempted by everything that we are. He was a man and yet couldn't put a mark on him. When he said this, he screamed it out. I was listening to it. And he screamed out, and you couldn't put a mark on him. Why? And he was tempted like we was. Are we being built by the Holy Spirit into this position? My, that we can be, again, Christ. Christ living in us and expressing. To where really we can be turned loose. And the checkbook handed to us. And write the check. Could you imagine some of these kids today hand them the checkbook? With all your life earnings? Business, whatever it may be, and turn your checkbook over to some of these kids today? My. See, back when I was still a boy, by the time 14, 15 years old, I was starting to act pretty mature, you know. I could understand things and could do a lot of things on myself. Went out there on a tractor and farmed and plowed and planted, done all kinds of things by myself. Yeah. Well, some of these kids today at 14, 15 years old, they wouldn't even know what makes a tractor run. They're just clueless, you know. But we taught more responsibility back then. But today they think children's overworked. You don't give them things to do. They're too much work for them. Let them have fun. Raise a child in the way it shall go. Yes, there's times you don't work them to death, but you ought to teach them how to do things. You see? Show them how to do things. When Dad would be working on his cars, would be right underneath there with him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just a little feller. Yeah. Teaching them to do things. Oh, my. don't know why I'm getting on them things, but anyhow, I guess it all goes with it, regardless. He says here, overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. Ah, there you go. Recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. That's the secret. A lot of people says there's no devil. It's just a thought. Don't you ever believe that, he says. There's a real devil. Oh, yeah. He's just as real as you are or anybody. He's a real devil. He says, and you must recognize him real. You must know he's a devil. Then the same time you recognize him and know that he's a devil and he's against you, then to overcome, you must recognize that God is in you, is greater and mightier than he is. Oh. He says that the one that's in you has already overcome him. Didn't say you did he? The one in you is overcoming already. Yeah. That the one that's in you has already overcome him. By his grace, you are more than a match for him. Amen? He said, there's the real overcoming when you recognize that he is real, devil, a real devil, and you recognize really that Jesus Christ is in you. You got the goods to back it up. You see his life. You look back and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Then, you're already defeated. You ain't going to do nothing. No. You ain't going to do nothing. It's the Christ in you that's going to do something, friends. Oh, my. But we've got to recognize that. But there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, there it is, but after the Spirit. Then you realize that you've overcome. Why? Because you no longer walk after the flesh. You walk after the Spirit. You're overcoming. The Word says, do this, do that, do that. Amen. The body quickly turns to it. You see? And you know that he's a devil. You can't say, I got sickness and I don't believe it's a sickness, though. Oh, yes, it's a sickness. Or you got cancer and you don't believe it's a cancer. It's a cancer. He repeats, it's a cancer. But remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You must realize that the Holy Spirit that's in you has already overcome this thing. Oh, hallelujah. And he's in you, and you can overcome him. That's exactly sensible, exactly the way the Scripture is written, overcoming. He says, now notice, overcome. The God that's in you is greater than the one that's in him. The God of the world is not as great as the God of heaven, which is in you. No more than darkness can stand in the presence of light. Now, darkness cannot stand in the presence of light. I don't care how dark it is, light will put it out. You watch in the morning when the sun comes up, friends. I don't care how pitch dark it was at night. There might not have been a star out. There might not have been moon, no nothing. No lights on anybody's house. But when that time comes up for that sun to start rising, friends, that dark scatters. Oh, my. Now, listen to what he's saying. The light will put it out. It can't stand it. See, glory. But you take that, he says, but you take as much darkness you want to and try to stand against light one time and see what happens. That's the one that's in you is light. And no darkness can stand against it, you see. By faith you see these things, see. And the one that's in the world is darkness. So the light has proved to the overcome, or So the light has proved to overcome the darkness. And the man that's in Christ knows, now notice what he says here, the man that's in Christ knows that he's overcome the things of the world. You know it. You mean you sit there and you've overcome things of the world and you wouldn't know it? Well, absolutely you know it. You know you've overcome the things of the world, you see? Amen. It has no more ties to you at all. You're free. Glory to God. Walk in the light. He is the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, and we have fellowship one another. There you are. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Now, if you look back, you're condemned. If you look back, turn back around to it, you're already condemned. then you're still in the world. See how important that is? You keep turning back to dibble-dabbling in things of the world, and you don't stay out of it. And you fight it, and you step, and you go right back to it. And it's a battle for you. You just can't stay away from it. Well, the minute you turn back, you're condemned. You know you're wrong because the Scripture says not to do this or that, and you turn around and you look back to it, you're already condemned. You see? But if you're living above that, now listen, but if you're living above that, then he that's in you has led you above all the darkness. Hallelujah. You see? Remember, Jesus showed her how it's done. 40 days of temptation. He was tempted above any man that ever could be tempted in the temptation. Jesus Christ, watch. He showed us how it's done. Now, he said, listen. Look, he showed us how it's done. How did he do it? By the word. That's how he done it. For he was the word. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words in you, you're back in the word again now. Okay? Actually, Brother Lee Bell was talking about some of these things in that one I listened to the other night. And the word of promise. What is the word of promise to every Christian? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Then how do I overcome? It's not me, but the word that's in me overcome. It's not you. The word in you. That's why you want to get all the word there is in you, friends. Don't you let any of it set. You get all of it in you as possibly as you can. You see? The word is God. Then I overcome the things of the world because it's the word in me. Yeah, that's how you overcome things in the world, because the word that's in you, Christ. If you abide in me, my word's in you, then you just ask what you will. Oh, my. Just keep pressing up. You're coming to the top as sure as anything. You've got to come to the top. His 40 days of temptation, I'll quit here in just a little bit. He said his 40 days of temptation, by God's word, he overcome. I want to express something here just for a few minutes now. Satan made three major assaults upon him in that temptation. Now watch. It's always them three. Don't forget it. He made three major assaults, he says again, from the highest to the lowest. He tried his best to conquer him, but he was the Word. See, Jesus was the Word. What did he use? Himself, the Word. Satan's three major attacks or assaults upon him, but he met it with the Word. Jesus did. Met it with the Word every time. Every attack, he could make it with the Word. Watch this now, from the highest to the lowest. The first he made his attack upon was to use this great power, or to use his great power, which he knowed he was the Word. He knowed his position. You believe he did? Absolutely he did, see? I, the Son of Man, he knowed his position, and Satan come and wanted him to use his own power on himself. Now think about situations in our life. To feed himself. He'd fasted for 40 days. And now Satan's trying to get him to use that power that he has on himself. Okay? To feed himself. And he was hungry. I'm sure we'd be starved to death. Why? Couldn't imagine. A man gets hungry. He can do almost anything. He'll steal, rob, beg, borrow, anything. He had that appetite. And Satan used his first great major assault upon him to take his power that he had been given to him to overcome with and use it on himself. He didn't use it on himself, though. No. He used it on others. That's right. He used it on others, not himself. It wasn't for him, though, and Brother Bram talks about times in his life he used it, you know, even at the car wreck, so forth. Though he could have done it, he certainly could have done it. But see how the devil gets? He said, the devil wants you to mind him. You've got to remember that. That's what it's all about. Satan's trying to get you to mind him. Do what he says. Okay? And didn't he make it sound like the word going to Eve when he used it on Eve? Oh, yeah. The devil wants you to mind him. And he, Jesus, minded only what the Father said to do. Okay? He said, why, Satan, it's written. He'd give his angels charge. He said, yes, but it's also written. There you are. It's also written. He knew who he was. See? The thought runs deeper than what it's wrote. Listen what he says. The thought thought of this runs deeper than it's wrote. It's inspiration. The kernel is on the inside of it, you see? What it really is. He says, though he could have done it, he didn't do it. What about us? What if we're handed over this? Great authority. Have we really come to the place yet that Paul was in? Though that woman bugged the daylights out of him, he couldn't cast that devil off her until the Holy Spirit said, okay, now it's time. But just think how great Paul's stand was before those people. Why, look how God had changed his life. My, he once was a persecutor of the church. Wanted to kill them, see them all dead, jailed, whatever he could do. And then Paul seen how God had took his life over. And he knew that those apostles and all those around him knew how God took his life over. For example, it could have stuck his chin up. It could have been Paul. Yeah. But look how in humility, he always felt the lowest because he knew he persecuted the church. Though he didn't change from that, and now in the standing with Christ that he was, and yet he knew without Christ he was nothing. And ain't none of us been through what Paul's went through. And you think about people today, my, how they can just stick their nose up. Why, if they'd lay hands on somebody and they would raise from the dead or they'd be healed right there in front of the people, they'd, oh my, their chest would come out. They wouldn't be able to wear their shirt no more. Yeah. True. Oh, laid hands. Now, I'm important all of a sudden. You think God's going to use somebody like that? No. No, he's not. But are we in a position to keep from coming into that, that if God wants to do something for us? All we'd find out. Imagine even us that may be the little fellows, all of a sudden we'd become big fellows if that happened. And all of a sudden we'd want to go to other churches and do the same thing, and we'd do this and we'd do that, and I'm going to do this and that. But isn't that strange how many times the Lord Jesus done things? He said, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. He knew it was going to get out, but don't tell nobody. Yeah. But look how people are today. Look at the ministers that'd be. Why, they'd be wanting to, and they'd be getting invited all over the churches. My, he laid hands on somebody and they was raised from the dead, and people would be flocking to him like meat, dead flies on a dead piece of meat. Because somebody raised the dead. And then they'd get there and they'd see this all puffy come out on the pulpit and praise God, you know, God is doing a mighty work through me, and this, that, and the other. And the people just sit there and just swallow it up and eat it just like it's a steak dinner. Not understanding the word. Blind! I wonder how many people here would run to something like that and then preaching false doctrine. I can tell you there'd be people right here run to something like that. Yeah. What are you looking for? Are you looking for Christ? Are you looking for mighty signs, wonders, and miracles? Huh? Oh my. God will do it at his time. He'll do it when he wants it. But when he does do it, it won't be somebody that's going to puff themselves up, friends. No. No way. Though he could have done it, he didn't do it. He never paid heed to Satan's proposition. And how many men strong enough today not to pay heed to Satan's propositions? And women. Now here is a good thing, he said. Sometimes Satan can take you, and when you think that you're doing the will of God, and can make you a proposition, and you'll fall for it. You sure can, he says. In closing, I'll close on this. Well, let's just take, for instance, like our sisters. They're pretty, and he can get you to a place that you let your hair grow out, and you didn't realize it, see, and you look so nice now, and it looks so nice on you. And the first thing you know, you get kind of feeling a little stuck up, a little above somebody else. Some of you men, you know what I mean. And he can take that same thing and proposition you with it. That's right. You got to overcome that. Oh my. Just remember, you're living for God. You have one objective, and that's Jesus Christ. Outside of that, there's nothing else counts. That's Him. Then secondly, for your family. Then thirdly, for yourself. But for first, God. Next, your family. Next, you. You're number three. That's the end of the road. Put yourself last. He did. Oh, my. If we could just take the advice of what this prophet is saying. I'm telling you, friends, God will not use people that can't stay in their place. No. No. It's going to be, what did the prophet say about the ministry in this last day? It'd be so humble. So humble. Oh, my. But I'm telling you, some people in this message regard some of these preachers like they walk on water. Like they can do no wrong. And all the time they're hiding and doing things sin. And sinning all the time. Everybody thinks they're spotless. Pure. God knows. Yeah, he does. And some people know. But, friends, you've got to find there's a right condition. There's a right condition that you have to be in for this all to work. Oh, hallelujah. God, help me to find that right condition. That, Lord, I won't move without you. You know the little song we sing? I can't talk without Jesus. I just can't walk without Jesus. Yeah, I don't want to. I don't do anything without him because I know I can't do anything. I can't even get up here and preach. I didn't even have these things to bring tonight and if it wasn't the work of his Holy Spirit coming down and helping me see these things to bring tonight. I'm just going to let Brother Timothy preach and just forget it. I even was thinking, I said, I ain't even going to show up Sunday. I just ain't no sense of me being there, you know. But then when he gets done hanging you by the neck, get with it, boy. You see? But, oh, saints, let's press on. Amen. Press on. It's getting close to the end. Amen. May we give it all we got, friends. Amen. Oh, my. And that's to Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't you sisters come in the instruments, please? We'll just maybe sing a little song for thee. Amen. Anybody got a little chorus you want to sing? Amen. I ain't much of a singer either, Brother Timothy.
Sing that little chorus, just another touch more
from you. Amen. That'd be a good one. Let's just sing that. Let us stand. Amen. And sing a little chorus, just another touch, Lord, from you. Praise the Lord. Just another touch, Lord, from you to help me all the trials I go through. Oh, dark may be the night, you'll say. Just another touch, Lord, from you to help. trials I go through, and dark may be the night, you'll send a ray of light when I get a touch, Lord, from you. Let us just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this precious opportunity that you've given us. Lord, we see it's grace and mercy. Help us, Lord Jesus, to receive these precious little nuggets that you've given to us through that prophet. And Lord, these holy scriptures that were wrote by inspiration, men of God led by the Holy Ghost to write. Oh, we appreciate it so very much. So many times, Lord, we don't feel worthy of all these great things, but we appreciate it from the depths of our heart. Lord, what you've done for us and what you're doing, just help us now not to miss anything. Help us to catch every move and every little nugget, and Lord, every inspiration you want to inspire your bride with, oh God, help us is our prayer. Go with us now and again. Just protect us and keep us safe. And watch over our brother and sister driving that far tonight. Just keep them safe also on their journey. And again, Lord, if you should tarry, bring us all back together again. Help us to sit around your word, Lord, and to receive, oh God, the reality of all that you are. In your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 As you leave. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Yes, Lord. To help me through the trials I go through. Oh, dark. You'll send a ray of light when I get a touch, Lord, from you. God bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. That's good.
And I also want to thank the Lord for healing my foot. And I don't even know when it happened. I didn't. Because it kind of, it hurts, and then I could go on and quit hurt. But I was listening to a message Saturday night, and I usually set my recliner and my feet up. And I usually will stretch my feet. And I started stretching my feet, and there was no pain. And I haven't had any since.
Amen.
And thank the Lord for that.
Amen. That's wonderful. He's the great physician. Amen. May God richly bless you now. You're all dismissed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.